In many ways, the town of Long Eaton, with its population of about 35,000, is midway between Nottingham and Derby. It's 9:15 here in the High Street, and presumably everywhere else in the town. One or two of the shops are starting to open. Every now and then there's a marvellous smell of freshly baked bread from somewhere. Perhaps a baker's, dancing on the autumn air. There's a trickle of people going into the newsagents across the road. And a trickle of people coming out, of course, too, otherwise it would get very crowded. And there's a man making his way along the street, emptying the litter bins. Tramp, in fact. Sandwiched between an estate agent's and a video rental shop are the unassuming offices of the Long Eaton Gazette, which is where I'll be spending the day, when it opens, eventually. There are the usual black-and-white photos in the window. A football team. Another football team. Another football team.
Spare us 50p for a cup of tea.
No.
Git!
Good morning. Can I help you?
Hello. It's Roy Mallard.
That's not what I asked you.
I'm here to see Helen Meredith. I think she's expecting me.
You can't really know that, though, can you?
No, I can't.
It's just guesswork, then.
Well, yes, but you see...
There's a Mr. Mallett here to see you.
Mallard.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought so. You're not with the BBC, are you?
Yes.
He says he is. All right. She's coming down.
Right. Thank you. Yes, it's people like us. Yes. Right.
Roy, hello.
Hello.
Nice to meet you. I hope Marion's made you feel at home.
Yes, I have.
Good. Well, perhaps you'd like to follow me.
Yes, where?
Well, come up, and I'll introduce you to the others. You'll have to watch your head.
Why? What's the matter with them?
Sorry?
No, don't worry, it's just the cities. Helen Meredith is just coming to the end of her first full year as a journalist with the Long Eaton Gazette. Before that, she graduated with a law degree from Durham University, where she edited the student newspaper, as well as obviously keeping very fit. She'll be 25 next year. So she's 24 at the moment.
Tony, this is Roy Mallard. Tony Guerrier, our editor.
Hello, Roy. What have you done to your head?
It's nothing. Hello.
Helen mentioned that you'd be spending the day with us.
Yes, I hope you don't mind me getting in the way.
Well, she didn't say anything about you getting in the way.
No, seriously.
And this is Jules Collard, who's been with us for 3 months.
Hello.
Yes, still very much the novice, I'm afraid. Hello.
Oh, I'm sure you're not.
No, she is.
Right, well, hello anyway.
Hello. So, that's it. That's the team. So, you found us okay? You must have got up incredibly early this morning.
No, I came up to Nottingham last night and drove over this morning.
No, I mean, you look really tired.
What?
Did you drive over by car?
Yes, by car.
Right, so, what have you done with that?
It's outside.
Well, obviously, yes. Where?
No, I mean, just outside, in the street, right there. It's the Blue Golf. It's rented, of course.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Very nice, yeah. That's very nice.
Are you interested in cars?
No, not really, no, but I'm very interested in renting things.
I see. Right.
Well, would you like a coffee?
I'd love one, yes, that would be great.
Right. I'm not sure whether we've got any milk left, have we, Jules?
No, we got some of that stuff to stir in with a spoon.
Sugar?
Yeah.
Would you take sugar?
Black will be fine.
Right. Excuse me.
Certainly.
Hello, Long Eaton Gazette. Yes. Yes, well, if you can give me some details. Jules, have you seen my pen?
No, where is it?
No, what I meant is... Oh, it's okay, I found it. Right, okay. Just try to take it slowly, all right? Right. Really? Did they? Really? Are you sure about this? Two people. Right, are you able to give me any names? No, what I mean was, are you able to give me their names? And does anyone else know about it? No, right. Well, look, thank you for contacting us. I'll certainly check this out. No, not at all. Okay, bye.
Anything?
A diamond wedding anniversary.
Helen's first foray of the day outside the office is the crime desk run. Looking eager and young and wearing a sort of beret, she's off to Long Eaton Police Station for a regular update on this week's crime stories.
It's pretty run-of-the-mill stuff most of the time. House theft, stolen car radios, the occasional drunken brawl.
Are drugs a problem?
I think they're supposed to be, aren't they? One of my friends at university stir-fried his shoes after
it. I mean, is the drugs problem? Oh, God, that was a big lorry, wasn't it? Yes.
So, I'm sorry, I mean, yes, is the drugs problem, well, a problem in this area?
Well, I don't think it's a bigger problem as people think it is.
How big do they think it is?
Massive.
Right. In general, how do you find the police react to your role as a reporter, given that in some senses there must be a... Red! They're red! They're red! Over the past year, Helen has built up a good working relationship with Sergeant Andy Parkinson, whose job it is to liaise with the local press.
Are you all right?
I'm fine, yes.
Would you like to sit down?
Yes, I would, really, yes.
And how's Helen this morning?
She's all right to me.
I'm very well, thanks, Andy. And you?
Oh, you know, I'm not one to complain.
Oh, good. Right. So, what have you got for us this week?
Now, before we start, would you like a cup of coffee or tea?
Oh, oh well, a cup of coffee would be nice, yes.
Right.
Helen.
Yeah, dear, how fresh is the coffee in the pot?
I didn't actually get any coffee earlier.
Pardon?
Well, if you had, how fresh do you think it would be?
I didn't get a coffee earlier.
Oh, guess it, Jeff, guess it.
Andy, would there be enough for a cup for Roy as well?
Yeah.
Christ, it'll take a whole bloody morning to work that out. Just try and make 3 coffees and bring it in, will you? Yeah, hang on a minute.
What about milk and sugar?
Well, I prefer coffee, there's one going.
Right,
despite the apparent contrast between the two professionals sitting across a desk here this morning, one in his 40s, hard-bitten and grizzled by experience, and the other, still young and not at all grizzled and with shoulder-length hair, sort of shade of auburn, their roles in the local community are in fact inextricably linked. Both of them needs the other to validate the other's role, their role, their own role.
That's 3 wheelie bins from the same road in the last 3 weeks, isn't it? All taken during daylight.
That's right, yes.
Okay, and any description to go on that one?
About 4 foot high, grey, black lid.
Right. And on the phone you were saying something about, 2 bicycles outside the Queen's Head?
Yes. Now then, where are we? Nick, come in. Jeff.
Sorry about the delay, Sarge. There you go. Miss...
Thank you.
There are only 2 here, Jeff.
Well, actually, no, Sarge, there are 3, but we've only got 2 mums.
Oh, great. Back at the office, Jules has been busy compiling this week's sports page from reports submitted by local clubs.
Does this mean anything to you?
No.
I haven't said it yet.
Go on, then.
Steve Frampton turned his man again, only to see his opportunist first-time effort foiled by an uptight.
Upright.
Could be, yes. I can't read his writing.
Who's written it this week?
Steve Frampton.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, I mean, what does it mean, then?
It means he hit the goalpost.
Oh, right. And doesn't that count?
Oh, God.
Doesn't it hurt when you do that?
Not compared to working here.
There's a single calendar on the wall and a threadbare carpet on the floor. I suppose that's where you'd expect them to be, really. But the point is that the room is sparsely furnished. Just 3 people sitting at 3 desks facing each other. And it's from these constituents that the Long Eaton Gazette has emerged every Friday morning for the last 90 years. It's not the same desks, of course. Well, the same people, obviously. Actually, it might be the same desks.
Oh, it's this piece about the visiting party of polystyrene engineers. I really need to know their nationality. Tony, do you know where Provietsky is?
Sorry, Helen, I'm on the phone.
No, you're not.
I'm busy, though.
I think I flew over Provietsky once.
Oh, where were you flying to?
Gatwick.
Oh, well, that's not much use, then.
Oh,
shame.
Damn.
Phone up the geography department at the university. Someone there will know.
Hey, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
You'll need their number, won't you?
Yeah, have you got it there?
No, I'm just saying, you'll need their number, won't you?
Yes. Yes, I will.
This morning, Tony is a man under pressure. With only about 6 hours left until the paper is put to bed, there's still no clear candidate for the front page story. For inspiration, he's turned to the pile of photographs on the desk in front of him.
Oh, God, this is hopeless.
What's that?
The Ramblers Association-sponsored slimming thing. I mean, look, they're supposed to be before and after, but he hasn't labelled them, and I can't tell which is which. Can you? Christ, I hate this. I hate this.
Let's have a look. Well, this is the after one, isn't it?
Well, why did you say that?
Well, because he's got his thumbs up and he's grinning. Look!
Yeah, but he's a hell of a size, though. Look at him.
Let's have a look.
This is Mark Pilkington again, isn't it?
Surely he's a lot thinner in this one.
I think that's just because he's wearing light trousers.
Yeah? I thought he was wearing swimming trunks, isn't he? Surely.
He's not, is he?
I think
so. Tony, these aren't the slimming pictures. This is the chairman of the Rotaract-sponsored beard shave.
Right.
Why would you wear swimming trunks for a sponsored beard shave?
I don't know. I've never had a beard.
Oh.
Lunch for Helen can often mean a sandwich and some fruit snatched on the way from one assignment to another, or eaten in the office whilst working on a story. Not that she needs worry about her figure, which is just about right. But when you look at her close up, you realise how small she is. I don't mean dwarfy, just small, you know, compared to me, for instance, and how defenceless she would be if she were suddenly attacked by a sort of crazy person or something. But anyway, today is one of those rare occasions when she has allowed herself to be persuaded of the virtues of a bar snack and half a shandy in the nearby wheat sheaf. I was keen to find some time to talk to her more generally about her job, and I was fortunate enough to be outside the wheat sheaf as she came out.
Okay, then. Well, I'll see if I can get some tickets, and I'll be in touch.
Oh, good. I'll pencil that in it.
Right, well, see you then.
Okay, bye. Oh, hello.
Oh, hi.
You're wet.
Yeah, it's okay. It's stopped now.
We're meeting back at the office at 2, aren't we?
Yeah, but I...
Right, well, I've just got to get some stuff at the supermarket.
Well,
So you're seeing a lot of each other?
He goes to aerobics on Thursday nights, and turns out his office is just across the street.
Right, I see. So what attracted you to journalism in the first place?
Well, it isn't something I plan. My parents wanted me to go to do law at university.
Hmm. That's what you did do, isn't it?
Yes, I'm just saying that's what they wanted me to do.
Right.
Are you okay, Pushing?
Yes, I'm fine. Yeah. Sorry.
Mind the...
If things go well for you, how do you see your career mapping out from this point?
Well, I'm not really sure that careers do map out.
Really? How do you mean?
Well, I mean, I'm not convinced that lives have a kind of clear overall structure to them at all.
Well, not necessarily a neat, symmetrical structure, no. I'm just talking about some kind of emerging pattern.
Why should there be a pattern?
Well, I mean, all right, not necessarily a pattern, but I seem to mean that our lives, obviously, must have some kind of shape, obviously.
Why must they?
Sorry, pal, can I just get to Sammy's skin? Sorry.
I suppose in an ideal world, I'd serve an apprenticeship as a reporter and then hope gradually to specialise in a particular area so that I'd be able to write more and more about the things that I'm really interested in.
So you'd eventually become a something or other correspondent?
Well, I think I'd probably have to be more specific than that.
Yes, but, those look like they're going a bit soft.
Yes.
These are much more firm, look.
Right, okay.
So, what area is it that interests you, given the chance to specialise?
Well, I'm very interested in the politics of healthcare provision.
Right, yes. Oh, have you ever tried these?
They're for dogs, aren't
they? Are they? Oh.
At the office, where we arrived just too late for coffee, this week's edition of the Long Eaton Gazette has begun to take shape. With just over 3 hours to go now, a possible front-page story has finally emerged, with news of the latest in a series of guinea pig thefts from local primary schools. And Tony is formatting the paper on a specially adapted computer, as his two young journalists complete their stories on their own computers. There's an atmosphere of quiet concentration and industry, of hands suspended over keyboards, eyes staring fixedly at computer screens, auburn hair, actually perhaps more fair than that, more sort of a shade of chestnut, sort of tumbling forwards unrestrained, only to be tossed back again, and she had this way of kind of tucking it behind one ear. And minds poised over the selection of exactly the right writing stuff. You know, words.
What's an off-the-ball incident, Tony?
Look, no label again, nothing. Some completely unrecognisable object.
Hold it up.
I'm not even sure which way up it's supposed to be.
It's the mayor's wife.
Well, what's this enormous great thing in the foreground?
The mayor.
Oh. So, what have we got left? Helen, did you finish the local traders up in arms piece last night?
I gave it to you this morning.
I thought that was the pensioners up in arms piece.
It was. They're up in arms about each other this week.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, longest thing to say. Oh, yes. Right, thanks for getting back to me. Yeah, that's right. Well, all we know is that it's in Eastern Europe and there's a polystyrene factory there. No, it makes polystyrene.
Helen's second appointment of the day is at the house of Stan and Ivy Rushton, about whose impending diamond wedding anniversary she'd been tipped off about earlier at the office.
There never used to be a roundabout there.
Really? So, I mean... Is there a standard strategy that you've been taught for interviewing people?
Oh, well, of course, there are the 6 basic principles of journalism.
Ah, and there was I thinking that journalism didn't have any principles at all.
No, it's got 6.
Right, yeah.
That's really silly.
Yes, so I mean... Oh, gosh, that's confusing, isn't it? I suppose he thought for a moment that you were going to give way. So, I mean, yes. So, what are the six principles?
The six W's. Oh. Who, where, why, what, when, and how.
Six W's?
Yes.
Right, I see. It's just that, actually, that's not six W's, is it?
Pardon?
I mean, how is an H, so it's five W's and an H.
Right. I suppose it's just that it sounds like a W. And that's why they call it the six W's.
Yes. Although, actually, it doesn't sound like a W, does it? I mean, it sounds like an H. How? Oh.
Yes.
In fact, who sounds like an H as well?
Yes.
So it's really four W's and two H's.
Would you mind letting go of the handbrake?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, Mark. This is Roy Mallard, who's with me for the day.
Hi, Roy. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks.
Well,
Mark Pilkington has been a freelance photographer since he left the army 7 years ago, after shooting his commanding officer's wife during a regimental ceremony to mark the Queen's 62nd birthday. He began by taking photographs of parts of his own body, but with careful practice and a specially devised course of tranquilizers, he has gradually become able to work across a more diverse range of subject matters and styles. Now, he is the man newspaper editors and journalists in the Long Eaton area call in when they need to.
Of course, in the old days, Roy, this is what we used to call a foot-in-the-door interview.
Oh, right.
Mr. Rushton? Mr. Rushton?
Yes?
Hello, I'm Helen Meredith from the Long Eaton Gazette.
It switched on at wall, but it don't work.
I'd like to interview you about your diamond wedding anniversary, if that's all right.
Ah, Barbara's going to Cornwall.
Is your wife in, Mr. Rushton?
I told her. I said it's no use buying them, they'll stain.
Oh, foot!
Hey. How far away would you say he was?
I don't know, but 6 feet, eight.
Yeah. Not trees and mountains, eh?
Let's have a look at that.
Mr. Rushton!
Any journalist will tell you that persistence is the quality on which success, or lack of it, is built. Actually, it wouldn't make much sense to build lack of success. Well, Helen eventually succeeded in gaining access to the Rushtons' front room, a process during which I couldn't help but be struck by a slightly unfeeling ruthlessness on her part.
Of course, in them days, we didn't know any better. We had no cling film.
Yes, right. Can I ask you, Mrs. Rushton, where were you when you first met your husband?
It were in the days when Nottingham still had a cattle market. I met him in Lincoln.
And why did you meet him?
Pardon?
Why did you meet him?
I don't know. My mother had a cousin in Lincoln and we'd gone to take him some dripping.
Right. So, so what? When did you meet him?
I told you, in Lincoln.
No, that was where. When did you meet him?
Oh, I met him when he offered to carry my mother's case at Lincoln Station.
No, that's where again. When did you meet him?
What does she say?
It's not my bloody leg, you know. It's my eyes. I'm just trying to establish
if you can remember when you met each other for the first time.
When?
Yes, when?
It was a porter in a smart uniform.
No, yes, that's what he was. But when was it?
What does she say?
Okay, then, if you can just look at me and smile, okay, Mr. Rushton?
What does he say?
Mr. Rushton, over here. Okay, do you know where your trousers are, or are you going...
We'll crop it up.
Okay, right, then, here we go. Right. Perhaps if you were just to hold hands.
Oh.
That's nice. Oh. And with your wife, perhaps, now?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, then. Looking at me, then. Over here. And... Have you been fiddling with that?
No, I gave it straight back to you.
Let's try a different tack, Mrs. Rushton.
But who? You haven't asked.
Oh, yes. Who were you?
No, what?
Thank you. What were your feelings when you first set eyes on Stan?
Oh, well, we just got down onto the platform at Lincoln Station.
Now, you see, we're back to where again, aren't we?
Oh,
tennis players. They don't wear knickers, you know.
Excuse me, I'm just asking people what they think of the Long Eaton Gazette.
Oh, there you are, mate. Buy yourself a cup of tea.
No, I... Hello, so will you be buying the Long Eaton Gazette today?
No, I won't.
Really? Is that something to do with the paper itself, or is it more to do with the idea of local papers generally? Or because you don't think they're relevant anymore in the age of faxes and emails?
No, it's because it doesn't come out till tomorrow.
Right. Good. Good.
Hmm? Oh, yes, I buy it every week.
Really? And is that for the news or for the local sport? Or
it's for my husband.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry. What does he like about it?
Well, he says he likes the back page best of all.
And what's on the back page?
Oh, he doesn't mind. He just likes the back page.
I see.
He likes the back page of instructions leaflets for the washing machine. And there's nothing on that at all.
Right.
I mean, I don't think he'll ever be right again.
No.
He's happy enough, and that's the important thing.
Yes, it is, yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, can I just ask you about the local paper?
It's the Gazette.
Yes, I know that. It
doesn't come out till tomorrow.
Yes, I know. I'm just wondering, how important is a local paper to you as a newsagent?
Oh, well, we don't actually make a lot of money out of it, but it brings customers into the shop every week.
I see, and then they buy something else whilst they're here.
Yes.
So it's like the bait to catch the fish.
I'm afraid we don't sell fish. Sorry.
No, that's all right.
So it's just a toffee crisp, then?
No, I was just browsing.
Sorry, excuse me, can I just... Do you read the local newspaper?
Don't know, what's it called?
You don't know what it's called?
No, I don't know what the town's called. I'm lost.
Oh, it's Long Eaton.
Yeah, all right, then I'll have one.
No, I...
So it would be quite wrong to think that most people who go into journalism have ambitions to end up working on a national daily.
A national daily what?
Paper.
Oh, yes, very wrong. I mean, regional journalism is the lifeblood of the... What's another word for laziness?
Indolence?
Yeah, that'll do, yeah. Indolence. Yes, so, I mean, it's the lifeblood of the profession. That's where the bulk of the employment is always going to be.
Yes, it's fascinating to see you working with the language in that way. I mean, you're accepting and rejecting words all the time, where a layman like me would hardly be aware of any difference at all between, well, laziness and indolence, for instance.
Yeah, the bloody Z's stuck. I dropped a bit of biscuit down there and I can't get it out.
Oh, I see. Right.
It was a nightmare last week. I had a story about proposed zigzag markings either side of a new pedestrian crossing.
How did you manage?
I wrote a piece campaigning in favour of double yellow lines.
Couldn't you have given it to Helen or Jules to write?
Yeah, I suppose I could have done, but, you know, road marking stories don't come along all that often.
No, no. One of the things that struck me during the day is that here you are, small paper, serving a local community. I mean, I don't know what your circulation is.
Well, why should you?
And very much concerned with the fabric of ordinary people's lives as they are experienced almost daily. In fact, completely daily by the ordinary people who live those lives. And yet, here are the three of you, all graduates, intelligent, some of you young, and people whose social and cultural reference points are very different from those of the people whose lives you chronicle. Yes, well, I mean, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, what's another word for lesbianism?
That's S, isn't it?
Is it? Excellent. How about some more coffee?
Well, that would be...
I'm sorry. Hello, Long Eaton Gazette.
A cup of cold water.
Right. Okay, yeah. And she's gotten to university? Well, that is good. Yes. Yeah, I'm sure you are, yeah. Well, we might be, yeah. I mean, have you got a photograph we could use? No, well, I meant a photograph of your daughter.
By now it was 4:30, and the issue of the front page story had now become critically urgent. The stolen guinea pigs were the obvious first choice, particularly since St. Langham's school had now received a ransom note from the thieves, and whilst we had been at the Rushtons, Jules had been to interview the headmistress, and had had coffee with her in the process. But there were problems with a photograph. After leaving us, Mark Pilkington had been dispatched to get pictures of distressed children next to an empty cage, but he'd just phoned in to say that the thieves had stolen the cage as well, and that the children weren't actually upset.
Can't we just get some pictures of any old guinea pigs and use them? That raises some big ethical issues.
Yeah, and there's always the danger that if the thieves see it, they'll think they've stolen the wrong guinea pigs and they'll kill them. It's bloody hopeless. We can't run a front-page story without a picture, and all we've got this week, as usual, is about 20 out-of-focus pictures of the mayor and his wife, like this one.
Well, that's not out-of-focus. That's what they look like.
Well, why don't we phone up the mayor, get a comment on the guinea pig story, and then we can run it with his picture.
Oh, yeah. That might just work.
Official face of fury, a furry pet heist. Just as a sort of joke, you know. You know, the way the tabloids...
Yeah. Did anyone find out where Probiesque is?
I phoned at the Michelin map offices in Paris.
Well done, Jules.
They said it used to be in Slovenia until 2 years ago, but now they're not sure where it is.
Yeah, well, where do they put it on their map?
Well, they put it where it always was on the map, but they're just not sure where the map's a map of.
Oh, God.
And so, as the deadline approaches, what had threatened all week to remain a collection of disparate and unrelated fragments becomes, as it somehow does each week, by a process of alchemy known perhaps only to journalists, something with purpose, unity, and coherence. Something whole.
Well, who are these three? Pulling funny faces with their arms in the air.
Oh, that'll be the over-50s gymnastics display story.
Yeah, well, where was it? It's a hell of a low ceiling.
No, you've got it upside down. They're doing handstands.
The old clichés about what journalists are supposed to be like have moved on. Well, actually, it's not the clichés that have moved on, of course, it's the journalists. Today's professionals are, well, younger, slimmer, and quite the most bewilderingly... well...
Journalism is often thought of as, in some ways, a masculine profession. Is that true, do you think?
I think that's less so now than it used to be. I mean, it's certainly not true in our office.
It certainly is not. I mean... Well, you know.
But I think it's part of a much wider issue, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, name a profession that isn't thought of as a masculine profession.
Well, actually, I once had a girlfriend...
Brilliant!
Yes, who was a dentist.
Still, I doubt whether that's all that relevant statistically.
No, probably not. She had lots of other boyfriends, yes.
In the final analysis, the Long Eaton Gazette, like local newspapers all round the country, is much more than the sum of its parts. It's a vital mechanism by means of which a community talks to itself, defines what it is, and survives at a moment in our culture when the notion of community is under attack from all sides.
Well, that's the sort of thing I tell myself on good days, yes.
And on bad days?
No, just on good days.
I meant, what do you tell yourself on bad days?
On bad days, I tell myself that I'm 55, I'm still a virgin, and that I've largely wasted my life.
Really? Still... sure, any consolation. I mean, you don't look 55. You're very attractive.
I'm not. I'm 46 and I've just remarried, but it's the sort of thing you tell yourself on bad days.
Right.
What about you? Are you married?
I am, yes.
Christ.
Why?
And you may like to know that the guinea pigs we heard about in that programme were later released unharmed following the intervention of the mayor of Long Eaton as negotiator, although one of them subsequently died of a heart attack during a photo session called to mark their release. Kravajetsk is in what used to be known as the former Yugoslavia. Roy Mallard would like to give a special thank you to Chris Langham and also to Amanda Root, Bill Nighy, Linda Polan, Kim Wall, Elliot Nichols and Stephen Critchlow. The programme was written by John Morton and produced by Paul Schlesinger.